You either love it or you hate it, it being HBO's comedy Girls. The show's creator is 25-year-old Lena Dunham. She also stars as Hannah, one of four friends struggling to make their way in New York. Her parents tell her they can no longer finance her post-college, follow-your-dreams, New York writer wannabe existence. In this scene, Hannah confronts them with her new book, all four pages of it.
Hi.
Oh, hey, what the heck are you doing here?
I thought you didn't want to see us anymore.
I couldn't bear the idea of not seeing you before you left town. But more importantly, here, you can sit down. It's late. I'm sorry. Is that I brought you my book? I need you to read it.
Great. We'll read it on the plane.
No, no. I need you to read it now because I don't want to freak you out, but I think that I may be the voice of my generation, or at least a voice of a generation.
But is she? Is Girls the voice of a generation? Sex in the City for the younger set? Or, as one 33-year-old commentator puts it, is it just sad and off-putting? For the past 2 months, a group of writers at Slate has been blogging about Girls in two columns, Girls on Girls and Guys on Girls. And two of those writers join us now, Hannah Rosen and Dan Coy, senior editors at Slate. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hannah, why do you think there are people who do think this show is off-putting?
Because they're bad people. No, I mean, I start by saying I disagree with them. It's obvious why it's off-putting. It's a little too honest for some people. Sex in the City, we now realize, was a whitewashed version of Sex in the City. And Lena Dunham's sensibility is in many ways exactly the opposite of that, especially as it, when it comes to her own body and her own willingness to show her naked body. So I think this kind of sensibility is not for everybody. She doesn't look great. The way they have sex in the show is sort of brutal, honest. There's a lot of power struggle between her and her boyfriend or not boyfriend on the show, played by Adam Driver. So I just don't think that sensibility is for everyone. It's uncomfortable to watch people in that situation.
Well, Dan, hold up a second. I want to bring you in, but I just want to describe for people what Hannah's talking about, because Hannah, the heroine in the show, Lena Dunham, you know, isn't your typical television star. Alexandra Stanley of The Times writes, she's plain, unshapely, unpleasant in ways that are only occasionally endearing. I happen to disagree. I love Lena Dunham. It's as if Wendy Wasserstein, you know, who is also rounder, is finally on screen instead of behind the camera. Dan, your thoughts about, you know, this sort of anti-heroine.
It seems like there's two strands to the criticism of the show so far, and one of them does have to do with Hannah, and not just her shape, which I think is off-putting, but I think a lot of people are loath to say, oh, that's the reason I'm put off by her, but also her attitude, which is she's very presumptive about what the universe owes her in a way that I think rubs people the wrong way. And Hannah manifests itself by her believing that she's the voice of a generation and that the universe owes her the chance to write a memoir that will make her famous before she even turns 30. And I think that that bothers some viewers.
Well, but they get smacked down for these feelings. You mentioned Hannah's boyfriend, Adam. They have huge fights. A lot of people thought that Adam was, you know, misogynistic. And then we start thinking maybe we're seeing Adam through her eyes. Maybe there's more to Adam. And there's that wonderful scene where they leave this really stupid party. And Hannah is riding on the handlebars of Adam's bike. It's sort of like evokes Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, although I'm probably not evoking that for a lot of people who don't even remember it. But when, you know, Catherine Ross was on the handlebars, and you think, isn't that sweet? And then she falls off the front of the handlebars. You know, no Catherine Ross. It's really, you know, undignified. And then he lets loose on her.
You never ask me anything besides, does this feel okay? Or do you like my skirt? Or how much is your rent? You don't want to know me.
Do you ever even think about me when I'm not there?
See?
Hannah, what do you think is happening here?
They have an unbelievable chemistry. You can never really quite fix on who's the dominant, who's in charge, who's the sweet one. I mean, it changes constantly. He is one of the most original characters that I've ever seen on TV. He's incredibly enigmatic. Even when it seemed that he was very misogynistic, girls, like actual real live girls in Brooklyn, were following him home because there's just something so charismatic about him, the actor, and the character.
Dan, jump in. What do you think of Adam?
First of all, I'd like to state for the record that you must go to much better parties than I do, because that party seemed awesome.
Right.
I don't know. It seemed great to me.
I guess the reference was to the girls, you know, the characters who are sort of wandering through it, trying to anchor themselves somewhere.
Right. Yeah, that is true. For them, it, for many of them, the party turns out terribly. I mean, I don't mind saying from the very beginning that character of Adam drove me crazy, and I didn't get him, and I didn't get why Hannah was with him. Because I was viewing the show in its first few episodes through sort of this lens of, well, this is how romantic comedies work, I thought, okay, well, he's the bad boyfriend who Hannah will get rid of on her way to finding a better boyfriend. But one of the reasons that I've loved the show so much is that it consistently surprises me, and so he has revealed himself to be someone better, someone maybe better than her in a lot of ways. And that's one of the things that's so appealing about the show to me.
She's 25. You know, I mean, her the characters are young, but she's young. I mean, I just find it quite something that she's pulling this off. Let's listen to a scene from the last episode. This is where Hannah and her best friend and roommate, Marnie — I say best friend even though Hannah wrote something in her diary about Marnie that led to the breakup of Marnie and her boyfriend. I mean, just awfulness. And here they're having a huge fight, in part because Marnie's been paying all the bills since Hannah's parents cut her off.
You are so selfish. This is why you have no friends from preschool.
I have a lot of friends from preschool. I'm just not speaking to them right now.
No, but you judge everyone, and yet you ask them not to judge you.
That is because no one could ever hate me as much as I hate myself, okay? So any mean thing someone's going to think of to say about me, I've already said to me about me probably in the last half hour.
She hates herself, and she hopes to be the voice of a generation.
That poor generation.
But even her self-hatred is slightly narcissistic, and hating yourself is a way of thinking about yourself all the time.
No one could ever hate her as well as she hates
exactly.
her.
Exactly. Well, she's the perfect hater of herself. So,
well, but,
you know.
Do you think that this is, as you know, Alexander Stanley writes, well, maybe low expectations, skip a generation, Carrie, Samantha, and everybody on Sex and the City, they had a hard time finding love, but they expected all these, you know, terrific things, careers, great high heels, you know, summer shares in the Hamptons. Whereas, you know, we're not quite sure what Hannah and her friends expect. But I'm just wondering if, you know, I never thought Sex and the City was real. Maybe it's just, you know, who I run with. Whereas, is Lena Dunham being more honest?
Well, at the time that Carrie and Samantha were getting all those shoes and those places in the Hamptons, there were millions and millions and millions of women in the real world who were not getting those things. And so I don't know that these expectations skip a generation. I think there are plenty
right.
of people Lena Dunham's age who also expect the best. But part of being 25 for most people I know is watching your expectations crash up against the world as it actually is and learning that the magical, amazing things you think you're going to do maybe won't necessarily happen.
You know, one of the things I love about it is it holds confusion and clarity at the same time. You know, literally minute to minute, you know, Hannah can be absolutely clear about something, her aspiration, what she wants to do with her life, how she feels about Adam, and then a minute later, the sort of flood of confusion comes in. And that's very interesting and very jarring. Whereas I think Sex and the City was after something completely different. It was aspirational.
That's Hannah Rosen. We were also speaking with Dan Coyes from Slate Magazine, part of a team that writes the Girls on Girls and Guys on Girls columns about the show, the HBO series Girls. The first season wraps up Sunday night. We'll have more at hereandnow.org, and we'll link you to their columns. Hannah, Dan, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Everyone seems so certain. Everyone knows who they are.
Okay, all the things we report on and all I'm hearing in the halls today is I can't believe you like the show Girls. So if you feel the need to unload as well, go to hereandnow.org. I like it. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again. Here and Now.
Everyone seems so certain. Everyone knows who they are. Everyone's got
funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.